Shall we open our Bible to the book of Psalms, if you please, chapter 37. Chapter 37 in the book of Psalms. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1 and read only down to verse 7 and into verse 7. The Spirit of God writing through His servant David without question of doubt long ago, and saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Stop the reading of that one particular place. The reason I have read these words have been upon my heart much this week, where the psalmist long ago gives us the secret of tranquility, of being a tranquil soul, and resting, whatever the circumstances might be, in contentment and peace, in the enjoyment of the Lord. May I please emphasize in the opening first two words, verses that we have here, the difficulties and the dangers and the troubles that we have in this present season of the world. David had them long ago, though it may have been centuries since he wrote these words. But I say frankly, there may be more trouble in the whole world today than there was in the days of David. I have never witnessed, in my own experience of even 99 years, so much trouble and difficulty in the world today as it exists. Invading every avenue of life and every part of human experience, whether it be individual, whether it be family, or whether it be corporate numbers. But may I point out what David writes by the Holy Spirit regarding the difficulties that pervade and the troubles that sin and iniquity has wrought in this world. He opens this psalm by saying, fret not. I think the word fret means don't get overheated over the conditions, but I will confess they disturb my heart and my mind many times when listening to the situations that pervade in this present scene today, everywhere, even in our midst today. But then there's a remedy. When passing through these conditions, may I say frankly, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I took the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. For as David goes on to say, the remedy for fretting in verse 3 is trusting in the Lord. Let me read verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. May I say, beloved, I wonder when to find the truth of what the dear psalmist is writing. He's writing as a child of God, and I should suggest to you, look upon it if you are saved, that God is speaking to you as one of his children, encouraging and admonishing, trust in me. And as the psalmist has written, trust in the Lord. For may I say again, when you're treading, you're not trusting. And beloved, many of us have that difficulty. There are many things to be troubled over. Many of the things that we pray for tonight. Felt much trouble and difficulty for the dear people for whom we made mention to the throne of grace. But in the whole world, there's lots of trouble. But may I say, as a child of God, put your trust in the Lord. Now may I point out there's a verse you find it in Psalm 56 and verse 3. An unusual verse, but very appropriate to this one we're looking at. In chapter 56 and verse 3 of the Psalm, the writer says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I think of the words of Isaiah in chapter 12 and verse 4, I believe. He reversed the words. I will trust and not be afraid. Now, my fellow believer, and I speak to you as a believer, in the midst of these troubles that surround us, are we trusting in the Lord for our protection and our safety? I think of the words. They have been told to be the middle words of the whole Bible. As we look at the Bible from chapter to chapter and verse to verse, in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And again, following in the next verse, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Oh, my beloved, may I say, let us take the advice of the psalmist in these days of trouble that surround us on every hand. Trust in the Lord. Be trusting him. Oh, we thank God for those lovely hymns that oftentimes we sing in encouragement for one another. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And note in the verse, there's not only trusting, but to let it be accompanied by doing good. Manifesting in practical living that you're trusting the Lord. And note the promise, so shalt thou dwell and abide in the land. And also, verily the promise thou shalt be. Thy beloved, I'll tell you one thing. Let me repeat the words of the psalmist again. In Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. May I quote the words of the Proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Let me re-emphasize before going further, and much more could be said. But let me re-emphasize, the cure for treading is trusting in the Lord. But go further. There's more than trusting. We go to verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. May I add? Delighting is more than trusting. I find it in my joy. I find it in my all in all. May I suggest the type and the blessed example of the Lord Jesus himself. As you may read in the 40th Psalm as well as in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, relative to his coming down to the earth. He said to the Father, I delight to do thy will, O God. Now know thou verse. Delight thyself. In who? May I lovingly and earnestly say, I don't know any better person to delight in than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I defy you to find a better person, or one equal to him. You cannot. Now note it says, not delight in the things of the Lord, that should be true, but delight thyself in the person of the Lord. Are you a Christian? May I ask the question? Have you made the Lord your delight? One well wrote a lovely hymn. I am satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus. I am blessed. Peace that passeth understanding on thy breast. No more trembling. No more weakness. Oh, what rest. Oh, what rest. My beloved, may I say this? Look to this very carefully. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. Now let me emphasize. The desires of your heart will be to delight him and please him. As a believer, let me quote the words of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. As Paul wrote to the believers of his day and to us today, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now please let me reemphasize, delighting is more than trusting. I make him all my delight. Again, let me repeat. Your desires will be according to his design. They will not be selfish for yourself. But how can I please him? And may God help us to do delight. Let me repeat again the growth that's revealed here. The increasing responsibility as well as privilege. Instead of fretting, trusting. And more than trusting, delighting. Now go to verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, he said. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now notice another advancing responsibility. Commit thy way, the whole path of life, and all that is before you. Unto whom? Did you ever notice, you may have it in your Bible, I know it's in one of my Bibles, there's a marginal reference, if you have a marginal reference in your Bible. You'll find the Hebrew word implies, roll thy way upon the Lord. My beloved, let me tell you, how privileged we can be to roll every bit of our path to the guidance of God and our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the future may be, for me, I give you the thought. If you're delighting in him, you'll let him lead you all the way. Well, did the poet write the lovely hymn? All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life hath been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by grace thy word to know, for I know whate'er befalls me. Jesus, lead me all the way. Oh, my beloved, please let me say this. May I ask you the question, search my own heart. Is my path wholly in the Lord's will? Is it all rolled upon him? For notice what he will do. Oh, he'll make possible that manifestation of your practical righteousness. If you trust also fully in him, in that full committal, he'll bring it to pass and bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment or justice as the noonday. May I humbly say, I'm sure what the psalmist is implying. Your path through this scene will become even brighter for you when you stop fretting, when you begin trusting, when you go on delighting, and then when you commit your whole path and leave it in his blessed hand. But then he brings us to the final verse we have in verse 7 we want to emphasize. We mentioned the whole section suggests the wonderful secret of tranquility, meaning the soul is not troubled, the heart is not disturbed. Is it possible? Well, note what he says, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. One wrote a lovely hymn I've been joined. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. My beloved, let me put it in this expression. If it means more to me than anything else and anyone else in the whole world, I have tranquility of heart, I can rest. It's all right, Lord. Let me give you an illustration I read recently this week. It was a very sad occasion. Some of you may not know or ever have heard, as I did years ago, of two young missionaries in China in the days of communistic trouble in the whole land of China. And missionaries were driven out, and many were killed. And there was a young missionary couple, and they were young. Just a young married couple with one baby child, John and Betty Stan, taken prisoners by the communists in that terrible communistic revolution in China years ago, going way back, I think, in the 1930s or early 1940s, more than 50 years ago. And with their child being carried in their arms and in the affliction that they were opposed by and armed with by the communists, they had to walk 14 miles, practically barefooted, wearing their shoes out or wearing their socks out, and try to carry the baby. And then at the arrival of this particular destination, they had to kneel on the ground to be executed. Young Christian, that both of them devoted to the service of the Lord and for the salvation of those Chinese communists. The story of how God gave them victory. I say again, how would you feel, how would I feel to have my head cut off with a sword as they did? And the baby left with no one to care for him. So undoubtedly die in perish. But the story tells us of both these young Christians. God gave them peace to submit. They had tranquility of soul where they came only from the Lord. Beloved, let me say in closing, we go through a troubled world. But I want you to note the words. I want to follow through with that seventh verse. Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for Him. You know I'm glad He's coming. Go back to verse 2. For in verse 2, God says the wicked shall be soon cut off. Cut down like the grass and wither like the herb. Like the green. My beloved, may I say, please may I say, and I do this lovingly and earnestly, the world is getting nearer to the day of judgment. But it's nearer to the coming of the Lord. For the Christian, praise the Lord, I know He's coming. And praise the Lord, I can say, oh, I think of the words of Revelation chapter 22, where the Lord Jesus said three times in that last chapter of the Bible, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And at the last, surely I come quickly. And if I remember the words that John wrote, the Spirit and the Bride, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. My beloved, I will say this. One sure fact. When the Lord comes, there'll be no more sickness. No more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, the former thing will have passed away. And he asked the question in closing. Does it not say to do what the psalmist exhorts here? Stop praying. Do more trusting, more delighting, more committing to have that peace and tranquility of heart, resting in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Patiently. I confess, I'm sure you will too, one difficulty is to be patient during this. But I think of the words of 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of Christ and into the patient waiting for Christ. Some have translated it, the Lord directs your heart into the love of God and the patience of Christ. May I say this? I do this to my own heart. John, you've waited 84 years for Him to come. And He hasn't come yet. And I say every day, Lord Jesus, come. And say, come quickly. But He's coming. And when He comes, all will be over. But oh, may God help me till He comes. To do what the psalmist exhorts against all the troubles we face. Stop fretting. Trust. Delight. Roll thy way on the Lord. And reach that place where the soul is at rest. It's all I know. Like John and Mary Stan, they say their testimony as it was told by others. They bowed their heads in peace to the executioner and smiled knowing where they were going. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God. Look! I don't know what to think about dying, but honest, did you ever know that everybody dies with heart trauma? Sure. The heart stops beating, no matter what kind of disease they have. But where does the believer go? To be with Christ, which is Father. Until then, may God help you and me to go better for His glory through this world, shall we pray? Our beloved and blessed Father, it is amazing what we find in Thy precious Word. Even in the days of Thy dear servant David, and we thank Thee for his ministry, in this book of the Psalms, as well as in other parts of Thy Word. And we thank Thee for the ministry of all Thy dear servants in this precious book. But most of all, we thank Thee for the beloved person and the work that our Lord Jesus Christ is and has done for us. Blessed Lord, we say with Thy servant David again, another verse that he wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, or way of pain or grief in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, blessed Lord, we thank Thee. What did the Lord Jesus say when He was here on the earth? Men, there were very few on them. He said, "Enter the straight gate, for narrow is the way that leadeth unto life." And he added, "Few there be that find it." And beloved Lord, in the world today, there are fewer on the narrow road to the eternal life. And there are many on the broad road that leads to destruction. For the Lord Jesus added, "For broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there." Please, blessed Lord, search our hearts. Help us indeed to walk the narrow way with Thee and Thee alone for Thine honor and glory. Asking it in the name of our Lord Jesus and for our blessing. Amen. Well, I didn't say the world was going to get better, but I did say it'd be a lot better when the Lord Jesus comes.